This episode of The Crunch Zone is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Cardinal basketball when you can't be at the game. For a buy one, get one free entree, text CRUNCH to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Coach Shorter's garage in Lexington. I'm soaking wet. Mark just threw water on me. This is Crumb's Revenge, and I'm sitting with
at U of L Sheriff 50 Mark Blankenbaker.
And we're here for The Crunch Zone podcast. This week's podcast, we're going to cover some program updates. We're going to cover football, and we got the big game with Cincinnati. It's The Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Program update.
Let's talk about some program updates first, because we got a lot of them, a lot of crossing many sports. First, we want to mention the baseball team. They're top 20 in the first two polls, I guess, that came out. And they returned 19 letter winners from last year's team, and they're favored to win the AAC. So yeah. I know you traveled a lot and visited a lot with the baseball team last year. So what are you excited about this year, Mark?
I'm excited in the baseball team if they can hit some left-handed pitching, because this is a group that they should really run through. They'll have a few challenges, handful here and there. But for the most part, because the AAC is more southern than the Big East was, but for the most part, this is a baseball group that U of L should really be able to handle. And if they can hit left-handed pitching, they can do some damage in the postseason tournament. They have some time to develop some of their pitching arms, because they do have some starting pitchers to replace that are now in Major League Baseball. So it's exciting time. It's a transition year. I think this group will be more offensive oriented than last year, so it'll be fun to watch.
All right. Well, they'll start their season opener February 14th, 16th. In a city I used to live, Charleston, South Carolina, highly recommend a visit from anyone who's not visited, at the Homewood Suites Tournament hosted by the Citadel. So the Ooh. Citadel, yeah, played that's actually, you know, for those who don't know, that's actually where Coach McDonald went to college.
Oh, it is.
Is the Citadel. And the Citadel, I played a tennis tournament there, and there's a lot of biting gnats, and I played tennis there, Ooh. And I got about 200 bug bites, and it was awesome.
You didn't have bug spray. That's smart.
Well, you know, there's a secret there. You don't wear bug spray, because it doesn't help. You wear Avon Skin So Soft.
Really?
Which is a heavy oil.
I've heard that.
And they
before.
All drown in the oil. They don't. When they try to bite you, they can't get out of the oil, and they can't reach your skin. So
interesting. Okay.
Well, yeah, it's also disgusting, because if you look down at your leg, you'll have literally a graveyard of like 200 bucks. So it's not what you want to use on a date. But the Cardinals home opener will be set at Jim Patterson Stadium February 19th at Jim Patterson. Against Eastern Kentucky. So that's baseball. Good luck to Coach McDonald. We are going to try to do a video for them this year. I promised him I would. So it's going to be a fun year and the final year of the AA Womp Womp C.
Yes, and I'm excited to get it over with.
That's right.
Another piece of information, Shane Bohannon has enrolled in classes at Colorado State. Wish him all the best. I think if there was a school in Antarctica, that would have been far enough away for him to get away from Cincinnati and the element that he's needing to get away from. So Colorado State's far enough maybe to do that, because yeah. I've been to Fort Collins, Colorado, mm-hmm. and it is definitely remote, but it's big time, and he can do some stuff with Larry Eustace out there.
Yeah, I've got family out there. I've been on their campus with the bikes.
It's pretty.
The bikes. Yeah.
It's pretty. I went to a football game. Louisville, Colorado State, I believe it was like 2002 or 3. I have to go look back at the dates.
Yeah.
It was a John L. Smith coach team, so it wasn't 03. I think it was 02. And it was a lot of fun. It was really pretty. They lost
the game. Yeah. There was a couple games I remember that we thought that would be a budding rivalry for us and just eventually kind of fell off. For those of you all who don't know, that's where Chom Jurich came as AD from Colorado State. Larry Eustace was going to be our basketball coach until Rick Pitino came into the fold.
And Jim McElwain is the head football coach out there, who Rashad Harris is their head strength and conditioning coach at Colorado State for the football program.
And Jim McElwain used to coach at Louisville.
Yes, he was an assistant coach.
Okay.
I think linebackers or something. Okay. I forget what position it was.
And for those of you who don't know, Larry Eustace is a recovering alcoholic. So there is Colorado, yes. Yes, it's legal to smoke weed there, but the whole idea, I think, is that this is a person that Tom understands, that gets it, you know, and, yep. and can help Shane more than basketball here. And Shane's already got God-given talent. He's a little short for his position, but I'm sure he can make it somewhere. But, yeah, Shane was talking about how he wants to get his degrees 38 hours short. Some people may not know how close he is, you know. So.
And he gets to see Ramboy.
Remember Ramboy? Yeah, that's right.
State, the tournament. You can yeah. see Ramboy all the time
now. If you don't know who Ramboy is, we do have clips of him in the national championship highlight video that we have. You can find that on the CrunchZone.com website in the Hall of Fame tab section, which Hall of Fame just means it was watched a lot.
Yeah.
some you know, just it was well received by the viewers. So yeah, so Shane Bohannon off to Colorado State. Shoney Schimmel, the Schimmel Show. First of all, one thing. Off the Res, you can check this documentary out on iTunes, and it's off the reservation, you know, because they lived in an Indian tribe in Utah.
They have Native
Utah.
American heritage.
No.
I don't know.
Utah?
No, it's Washington.
Washington, sorry. Sorry for that. But so you can watch that, and it's about Shoney, and it's about Jude, and it's about their travels and what it means to leave the reservation and make a big mark and be an inspiration to their family and friends.
And they really are.
They are. And Shoney had a big game the other night.
She hit 9 3-pointers, 8 of which were in the final 6.5 minutes of the first half, one at the buzzer. That's ridiculous.
8 3-pointers in 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you can't hit at a better rate than that. Because really, how many possessions do you get in 6.5 minutes? Maybe, what, 10, 11? And she hit, you know, 8 3-pointers in that little time stretch. So it's kind of impressive.
That is insane. And they crushed Memphis. That's something we wish the men's team did. They won 88-61. It was on Sunday. It was at Yum. She was 9 of 12 overall. And Sarah Hammond said it best. She said, that's a normal day for Shoney. To be on this team with a person like her, her skill level and the way she shoots the ball, I'm just glad I'm on her team and not on the other side.
Absolutely. Sometimes you just find yourself against a player who's super hot and they have the hot hand. And, you know, Shoney had it the other night. And I definitely, you know, the men's team will have another opportunity to maybe get hot against them on the road in Memphis a couple weeks from now. So we'll see.
And the men have moved up in the AP poll to number 7. I think they held steady in the coaches at 12. No, flip that. Coaches 7, AP 12. So
I'm kinda
don't
like,
expect much out of rankings for a while.
But for me, rankings don't even matter. I mean, because they use the RPI in the room anyway. So
we're 29 there.
Yeah, so you're looking at 29, so you divide that by 4. What, you know, what are you at that point?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, a 5, maybe a 6 seed. Jerry
well,
Palm had
a strict today. Division is 7. So.
Right. But, you know, Jerry Palm had – the Cards as a 6 seed today mm-hmm. in the West or in the South region via, I think it was Raleigh, North Carolina, or something like that.
Yep.
But that's a problem. Louisville needs to stay out of the South region because they play at Memphis to end the season or at one of their last games of the season. They go play the AAC tournament in Memphis. And then they could potentially play again in the region in Memphis. So you don't want to spend, you know, 3 weeks in Memphis. That would just be awful.
That would. We wouldn't wish that upon our worst enemies. Big Time Yurts is having a yurt out the Yum Center. So we'll talk more about the Cincinnati game later in the show. But basically, if you have a yurt, and we know many of you do. If not, BigTimeYurts.com is where you can buy them. Big Time Yurts. That's Y-U-R-T-S, BigTimeYurts.com. And you can buy a shirt, and then we're going to randomly walk around and give out prizes. So they're going to try to yurt out the Yum. And if you haven't checked their shirts out, they're custom fun-made U of L shirts.
You know, I'm pumped about this. I have several different yurts that I could potentially wear.
Do you get more prize entries if you wear shirt on yurt?
Like if I every media timeout, if I display a new yurt, do I get something? I mean, because I have maybe enough to do that.
Maybe if you tweet. Draw attention to the fact that you're switching shirts.
Switching shirts. Of course, then I could end up looking like the Pillsbury Doughboy with all these different
The Pillsbury Doughboy.
Doughboy.
Come on in.
The Doughboy.
Let me get this door for you. All right, Chris Weinke says Teddy Bridgewater says Teddy Bridgewater is the perfect fit for the NFL and that he is the total package. Now, that is a compliment because Winky won the Heisman. It's not a compliment because everyone who wins the Heisman usually fails later in life, and they end up like Winky, and they're at these IMG camps instead of playing football.
Well, Winky, I mean, he was old. That was his biggest issue, is that he was a good college quarterback, but he was older even in college, and everybody always made these old man jokes.
And he was 42 when he played college.
Yeah, he was like that guy in Necessary Roughness. He was like on the farm, and they brought him out of retirement from farming to become a college quarterback.
There you go.
This guy here, he did play professional baseball, and he's actually Teddy's mentor at the IMG Academy, kind of going through routes and progressions and going through Teddy's film, and they're throwing together. And IMG's a good place for Teddy, but we'll see how it turns out for him. Right now, he's very bullish on the draft market, so we'll see what happens with that. And I saw Howard Schnellenberger today.
Did you?
Yep. He was
at the airport.
He's in downtown Louisville, and I guess he's preparing to go to the Paul Hornung Award banquet.
Great.
On Tuesday night. Teddy will not be in attendance, but Clint Hurt will be.
Yep, and that's great because Clint Hurt's probably going to say some real nice things again to the city of Louisville. You know, not to take away from Teddy Sumner, but he's going to say, something that'll say, and I hope you guys kick the hell out of all the ACC teams next year and get the crowd around it.
Well, there should be a little interview opportunity for me and other media that will be at the Paul Hornung event, if you'd like to go with me, Mike.
We'll see.
Hopefully get a chance to talk to Coach Hurt about his upcoming gig with the Chicago Bears, because Clint Hurt is moving on. And we wish him well. And now it looks like Todd Grantham, the defensive coordinator, will coach the D-line rather than the safeties, and Louisville will fill that position with a safeties coach.
All right, that's pretty good. Now, I don't mean to jump back to, but I had a quote ready I wanted to read real quick from Winky Wanky.
Winky Wanky.
And he said, I think he's a perfect fit. He's the type of guy that doesn't have to say a whole lot, but I think will go into a locker room and get respect immediately. He's the total package. He has the ability to do all the things they're going to do at the next level. In terms of arm strength, he's got the arm strength. He can throw the ball accurately on the run. He has great escapability within the pocket. He was sending very high praise. But moving on. So let's talk about the big game.
The O-Line Grill is Cardinal Central for U of L basketball games on TV. Grab your friends and get to O-Line to grab a bucket of domestic beers for $9 or other game time specials like 24 wings and 2 domestic buckets for just $30. If craft beer is your thing, O-Line has several taps too. Support the Crunch Zone and head there for lunch. And get a buy one, get one free entree by texting Crunch to 72727. The O-Line Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport in Louisville's East End. On the front line of Cardinal Sports.
Game of the week.
The game. It might be the most important game.
It will be for the next few weeks.
Several weeks, especially. But, I mean, the Cincinnati Bearcats come to the Yum Center 7 o'clock Thursday night. They are the number 22 RPI team.
Are they 19-2? What's their record?
They're 19-2. They're 8-0 in the league.
And they lost back-to-back games, one to a rivalry game, and one to New Mexico State, who's pretty good. New Mexico. So
yeah.
It's not like they lost to dogs there. They lost to pretty decent teams.
Early December, at New Mexico, which that's historically known. Albuquerque, one of the toughest places to play.
Houston game flashbacks.
The Pit, Louisville Houston was there. It's at altitude. It's out west. It was actually Cincinnati's first road game of the season, and they performed well. They lost by 9 points, but New Mexico is the 26th ranked RPI team, so it's not like losing to a top 40 RPI team on the road that early in the season. You can't really put a lot of stock into that or, really down a team over that. But losing the next time at home, or actually it wasn't at home, it was at a neutral site, against Xavier, who's another top 40 RPI team.
Yeah.
So Cincinnati doesn't have any bad losses. They are...
You say loshes?
Losses.
Like luscious?
Did I say loshes?
Like loshogens?
I'm trying to,
Lozenges.
I'm trying to balance...
You're trying to make up new words. You're trying to make listeners feel like they need a dictionary. But these are made-up words, folks. These aren't even real words.
Merriam-Webster, I'm coming for you. Sorry, I type better than I talk. So,
George Bush.
Here we go. But this is an awesome team. I mean, what's their win streak right now?
Cincinnati's?
Yeah, it's
1-2. They won, I think, 300 in a row. They haven't lost in 6 years. 13.
13 in a row.
I was off.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, Louisville last year won the national championship on a 16 in a row run. That's the kind of run that Cincinnati's on right now. You know, they've been beating really good teams. Pittsburgh is on there. They beat Pitt. Okay. That's very significant.
Where was the Pittsburgh game?
The Pittsburgh game was at a neutral site. It was, I don't know, probably Madison Square Garden is what I would guess.
Okay.
It's probably one of those little. And they beat Nebraska. They've beaten Memphis by 16 points.
Yeah, that's something Louisville couldn't do. Now, I do want to give a quick compliment out to Michael Gilchrist of Kentucky, because he had a big night in Madison Square Garden the other night. I know it's a UK player, and I hate to give out compliments.
Man, it was
but
impressive.
He had a record-setting night when he guarded Carmelo Anthony when he scored 62 points. So congratulations, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah, I think it was really the development on the defensive side that he learned while under John Calipari, the development that has also Marcus Teague's already been traded for a no-name player.
They either
as well.
Go to the D-League or they get traded. Or there's like a couple of them that are
cut,
really, really good.
Traded. Not significant, but whatever. You heard your name called on draft night. Congratulations.
That's right. And that's more money than we make.
Yep.
Well, in Cincinnati, you know you're going to get really tough defense. Mick Cronin doesn't mess around, and he's a tyrant on the sidelines. I've got some funny photos of him completely freaking out on his players.
Yeah, and the most recent timeout, though, I will say, was on the road at Temple, which is not a very good team. 175th on the RPI. They're 5-13 on the year and 0-7 in league play. Cincinnati's only able to get them by 4 points.
Well, check out that USF score.
You know, and the USF score.
The USF is terrible. We just beat them by 40.
Yeah, I mean, that was a 7-point game.
And
South Florida's 10-10.
And South Florida was winning. I was a little concerned.
That's a road game.
That South Florida would have a good game against us because they were at home. And I saw that they were beating Cincinnati with only like 6 minutes left in the game. So I was like, yes, USF on paper, we should blow them out. But apparently, sometimes they play well at home. So
the last three times
we destroyed them.
Last three times Memphis has been on the road.
Cincinnati,
I'm sorry. Cincinnati's been on the road.
Sorry,
they haven't had great showings. Memphis was the last game that they had that really was awesome on the road. They beat Memphis by 16. So Cincinnati, I think, is due for a road loss. I hope Louisville's able to give it to them. It would be a big time win for this Louisville Cardinal team to beat the number 22 RPI team. Let's face it, they need these wins. They have to have them. And they have to have this one because after this, it kind of, you know, it eases up for a few weeks.
Yeah, we have like 5 straight games against trash. Like no better ranked team than 180. So it's going to kill our strength of schedule.
And then it really ramps up in a hurry.
Yeah, our last 5, we have 4 games against the top 40. Of those 4, 3 of them are on the road.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for U of L to improve strength of schedule and their resume, but it's all going to come at the end. So until then, we've got to maintain a decent ranking to hold ourselves in that striking spot so that if we do get some wins at the end of the year, then we can take advantage of them. Cincinnati is ranked 13th in the AP, 15th in the coaches, so this is a ranked game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good RPI game. It, you know, UConn's had a couple losses, so while we're very excited about it, we just know deep down it's not enough, and you just have to keep cashing in when you get these opportunities.
This would absolutely be a bigger win, and you know, you also think about the rest that Chris Jones has been afforded during this period that Louisville's been playing well to kind of rehab that oblique muscle that he strained. He will be back against Cincinnati, we're all assuming, and Cincinnati is a big team. They're not like, they don't have that overly stud huge guy, but they're all big at their position except for the center spot. Like you can get a 6'7", 6'7", 6'8", 6'5", 6'3". That's a big team compared to what Louisville is. You know, because Louisville's kind of small in the backcourt. Cincinnati's big pretty much across the board. They're going to be bigger probably than Louisville at almost every position. And Sean Kilpatrick, it feels like he's been at Cincinnati forever.
Yep.
But here he is, 19 points a game.
6'4", 210 guard. He's out of Yonkers.
Yonkers, New York. And, you know, these New York guys, they always play with an attitude. Russ Smith. You know, we see that with him, and I think that this is a game that's personal to Sean Kilpatrick compared to, you know, what happened last year with Louisville and Cincinnati. You know, and he actually he did really well 2 years ago at the Shoemaker Center and actually destroyed Louisville.
Yeah,
was at that game. So these two teams will play two times this year at least. And so Louisville will have to travel back to Cincinnati after Thursday night. But this is a really big, important win to protect home court.
Is the full roster of Cincinnati on board? For some reason, I thought I read somewhere a starter might be out.
If there is, I've not caught it yet. I'm starting to do my research on a Monday.
Okay.
And so we're going to be diving into this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So
yeah, we're a day early on this podcast, folks. We normally record this on Tuesday, so we're a little behind the game on a couple things, but we're
trying to work on some bigger projects for you guys to enjoy in the video format. So definitely wanted to get this in and talk about Cincinnati, but be sure to pay attention on the website, thecrunchzone.com, to look for updates that happen as we discover different things, because we can't keep our thumb on every single little thing, but we definitely try our best to keep you abreast.
The game is 7 o'clock. It's an ESPN game. It's going to be on in the Yum Center, so I know the place is going to be rocking. You'll have a couple people late coming in from work or something. You know, it always seems like the place is like scary empty at 6:45.
Right.
But then by the time they're singing the national anthem, it's like the place is full.
You know, I always think that if you work downtown, I see this happen in my office all the time. People leave when they're downtown, go home, change, and come back.
Yeah, it's a
waste. I don't understand that.
Get efficient, people.
Get efficient. Take a change of clothes. Go to one of the bars that's around the place. You know, say, hey, I want to grab a drink with some friends. Get to the game early. Go inside the KFC Yum Center. Grab a bite. Grab a beer. It's basically one huge sports bar. So I don't kind of understand the late rush to get in. It's designed for your comfort.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's a lot of good places to anywhere you turn, there's somewhere you can spend your money. I noticed that. It's like Vegas. It's very bright, so it keeps you wide awake. And then everywhere you turn, there's like it's KFC or it's Pie Kitchen or it's BBC or it's everywhere. So go in there and just lose all your money, folks. Get drunk.
Hammered.
Eat lots of cookies.
Make some bad decisions.
Make some awful decisions.
Just don't go on the court or throw
barf on someone, but do not be late.
Don't be late. Be loud. Don't be late.
Yeah.
You know, be obnoxious. Don't, if somebody taps you on your shoulder and says sit down, tell them to go to the library.
If someone does that to me, I will stick my finger in my mouth and forcibly gag myself to throw up on that person.
Yeah, because
don't you tell me to sit down. I am going to throw up on you.
Because guess what? If my seat's in front of you, that means I have better seats than you and I can do what I want. That's what happens.
I will never do that, by the way.
Never.
Everybody.
But no, I have seen this.
No, you seem like you agreed with that. No, now you're on record for agreeing with that.
I have seen people at the Yum Center, though. See, like, it's loud. You know, everybody's excited, jumping up and down. There's noise. Excuse me, can you please sit down? And there's like four or five people in front of that person who are also standing up. So if they sit down, they can't sit down. And then I have to tap on that person's shoulder. But guess what? You're at a sporting event. It's supposed to be active. You're supposed to be excited. You're supposed to be making noise. If you want to sit down and not have anybody stand in front of you, go to a movie.
Or go to your couch.
Sure, go to your couch. But if you go to an event, if you are actively going to go and contribute to the fan base, show your enthusiasm. Yeah, I understand that people, you know, sometimes have ailments. There are so many different handicap spots. There are so many different places.
Is there one for laziness?
That the Yum Center.
Is that a handicap? Laziness?
Yes. Yes. I know there are plenty of people on disability for laziness, but I'm serious. There's plenty of places that if you're on crutches, they'll accommodate you in a great spot.
You'll get a seat upgrade.
You'll get upgraded. You'll have a view of your own. People can stand up. It's not going to bother you. So don't tell people to sit down. I don't like that. It's not something I agree with. No barfing on anybody, but I mean, seriously.
I don't know. You agreed. But we're moving on. So Wayne Blackshear, we've been talking about how much improvement he's had. And so on the website, on thecrunchzone.com, you can check it out. I'll break it down. What I do is I take his last four games, which predominantly the one since he's been benched, and then I call the four before, so the four games before those where he was starting. So there's an eight-game comparison, and you'd be surprised is how it is, because my initial thought was he is just more minutes, so he has more stats. Like, he's not getting in foul troubles early. But as it turns out, there is one significant jump. And that is in scoring per minute. His figure goes up 39%.
It's amazing.
Which tells me he's a rhythm player.
Yeah, he needs that rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think him getting those fouls, I think it frustrated him. I think it took him out of his element. Luke coming in there. Even if Luke gets an early foul, it's not something that really bothers Luke, but it bothered Wayne. Wayne now can stay in his rhythm. He can remain in his game, and he can look at the points per minute. It's amazing. You know, 39%. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's
to have a
big
guy
jump. If you look, if you look at that, like everyone's saying he's playing so much better, and this is why I made TBT last year is because everyone said Luke can't play well. He's not playing well, but really he just wasn't scoring well. Everything else was fine.
Right.
So I was trying to educate folks that, you know, there's more than scoring. There's rebounds, there's steals, there's blocks, there's assists, there's all these things. Well, in this case, it's like the polar opposite. Everyone's saying how great Wayne's playing well, but actually he's rebounding worse now.
Sure.
He actually rebounded better per minute. Steals, assists, and blocks, there's no change. He's rebounding worse. He's only scoring better, but that is a big jump. 39% is remarkably higher. Now, in Chicago, he was the man. He was Mr. Chicago. He was scoring all over the place. He was just the man. And so, to me, that tells me that he, you know, the more the ball is in his hands, the more he is in the game, things like that, he's just a better player. So he said it himself. He said, being out of the game allows me to watch what the defense is doing. Then when I step on the court, I've already got a good game plan, you know, about how the refs are calling it, how the players are playing on defense, and he takes advantage of that, and that's smart. And he's the highest GPA on the team.
Right, and, you know, I think, you know, just getting Wayne Blackshear involved, getting his game, because he, you know, he isn't, like, the best defender ever because he fouls, but if he doesn't foul, he's actually a very good defender in terms of his blocks, his steals, and that's his biggest weakness, is getting the foul call when a player tries to drive, take him to the basket. That's his weakness. It's not that he's a bad defender. He doesn't get beat. It's the foul call. Mm-hmm. So him being able to stay away from that is tremendous.
And Rick talked about how he was doing the arm bar on defense, which was something they kind of used last year, and that he hasn't been using his feet well on defense. Well, he's clearly doing much better. His minutes have gone up from 19.3 in the four before, so eight games ago, and now in the last four games he's been averaging 26.5.
It's huge.
So more minutes on the court typically means more stats, but as we said, his ratios have not changed. Steals, assists, and blocks, he's the same Wayne. Rebounds per game, is he might be a little bit worse, Wayne, but scoring-wise, he is way, way up there. I mean, that's a noticeable change.
And Louisville needs the scoring, especially without the shot blocker that they really lack. They need that extra scoring. And in fact, I updated the record book today on the website, and basically, Louisville basketball.
Did you say basketball?
Basketball. Yes. I'm sorry, man. You're making fun of every single thing I say.
Mark is 8 years old. I'm hanging out with his little brother.
Basketball. No, the record for points is like 3,044 in 1985-86.
Okay.
And they have scored over 1,600 points so far through 20 games. And so that is a
big... And you hope to play 40.
And you hope to play 40. So right now they're on pace to break their all-time single-season scoring record.
Yeah.
And they have to do that if... they don't have this shot blocker because they cannot play the type of defense that they played last year because of the rules and also because of the personnel. They don't have Gorgui Dieng back there.
Now, 40 games pretty much means you win the title, usually.
Or you're in the title game.
Yeah, so that's six games. So if you lose in the Sweet 16, that cuts you off four games?
Cuts you off by three games if you lose in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
So if you lose, yeah. Cause,
you sure? Because I thought Sweet 16 is you win two games.
You have the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the Championship game.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So, if we get to the Sweet 16, you figure you average 70 points. That is 8 times 7, 56, 500, 563, 340.
They have a chance, if they get to the Sweet 16, to tie or break at this current rate. If they go past that, it should break.
Okay.
So, we'll see what happens.
And, yeah, they did not have a three-pointer back then, but that don't assume three-pointer means more scoring because the three-pointer is a lower percentage shot. So,
and there's the whole factor of the schedule is going to get really difficult in the last four or five games of the season.
But we're scoring points.
The Cards are scoring points. You saw what they did against UConn. We'll see on Thursday night what they do against Cincinnati. So Montrezl Harrell should break the dunk record. I mean, he needs 17 dunks
to break
the single-season dunk
record. He's
going
to have two games.
Purvis Ellison and Shane Bohannon own that record. Shane tied Purvis Ellison last year. So,
and you know what's funny is Shane, that dunk he got made fun of in the first round of the NCAA tournament by Caven Ware.
It would have given him the record.
Who knew how punitive that famous miss dunk would be? that
not
one dunk.
Not top 10.
Not top 10. Caven Ware. Mark had a great YouTube video of him interviewing him, and that's what he was saying. We used it also in some of the highlight clips.
Yeah, it was really weird, the whole Caven Ware YouTube phenomenon after he broke his leg against Duke. Everything that we had on Caven Ware just spiked. It was odd.
Yeah, well, it was global.
It was global, but I mean, We had just basic interviews with him, and people were clicking on him. I don't understand that.
Well, there was a huge craze. It was more interest in Louisville because everyone was anything Kevin Ware. They were just trying to see the break or try to figure out what the deal was. But I can tell you, like, my highlight videos when I just remember normally they're watching about 29 countries or something like that. But the Kevin Ware one, where I had Kevin Ware in the title of the video, that was watching like 94 countries.
It's unreal.
And one, you know, we're back to 29 countries again. So sure. It was, you know, there was.
But Cards fans are world, everywhere.
I mean, wasn't he more searchable than even LeBron last year?
I think he was, yeah.
Athletes?
At least for April. He definitely was.
I mean, it was insane.
Cards fans are everywhere. I love looking at our map where we get our traffic and seeing like all the different countries that pop up. So we appreciate you listening all the way in, you know, Iran, if you're listening out there, or, you know, Korea, or China and Southeast Asia and all the African countries
let's,
that it pops
let's
up.
Let's list
for.
Every country.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying, that's kind of
Mark,
fun.
Mark has a globe out and he's literally just pointing. Yeah, he's pointing and reading.
From there. It's
oh,
fun.
It's in USSR. Oh, it's an old globe.
Especially when we first started the site 3 years ago, I was like, this is so cool. What's happening here? And then
United States is reading it. App.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Well, you know, that's going to wrap it up for basketball. So let's go ahead and get on some updates for football.
Topic of the week.
All right. So we've got some, you know, we had a big recruiting weekend last week. Not a whole lot came out of it except for we landed a really big offensive tackle.
Yeah. You know, you got Bobby Petrino with big time tackles. Kelby Johnson, 6'8", 315 pounds.
And he's a JUCO guy, so he's ready to play.
He's got to be ready to play. Otherwise, you're taking a guy who he's just taking a spot, and I don't know why you would do that. You have Jamon Brown. You have Nacho Garcia and Ryan Mack as your tackles that played all last year. The only player that you're really losing on your offensive line, two guys that played the same position, Chris Acosta and Cam Joyer. Now, Ryan Mack can play guard. Mm-hmm. And so maybe Bobby Petrino thinks that they're going to move Mack inside and then maybe have a position battle with Nacho Garcia and Kelby Johnson here. Or you're going to need depth too. So, but there are some younger guys. Joe Manley comes to mind as somebody who really needs to step up. He's been in the program long enough that he can also battle for time. But you got to have depth in your program, especially at the offensive line position. So,
and you got to figure we're going to have quite a grind. I mean, I don't have the schedule up in front of me, but our last four games are going to be like maximum effort. It's going to be Florida State. It's going to be a rivalry game, Kentucky. It's going to be Boston College, who's much improved. It's going to be Notre Dame on the road. So that's, you know, the people talk about in the SEC about the grind, about trying to get through. They say, you know, a good friend of mine who played for U of L and was in the NFL, he always says you never should grade a team by their first game or their last game, because the first game they've had 3 months to get ready and they're perfectly healthy usually, and then the last game is a bowl game, they've had a month to heal up and they're ready to go. He's like, you really want to grade them during the grind. And Louisville hasn't had, certainly not this year with their schedule, hasn't had schedules in the past where there's much of a grind, but you can just look at this. Like, you've got, after you start the season with Miami, you get a little bit, well, not really, because Virginia's not bad, so you get Murray State's a breather in Virginia, back to the conference. You have two conference games in your first three. First of all, we've never seen that.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I love the spacing of the schedule. You said Virginia's not bad. They're pretty bad. Okay.
Are they?
Last year they were awful.
Okay.
But you know, they haven't
That's
always
good.
They haven't always been bad.
I don't like the spacing at the end.
But you have a Miami, you have an all preseason to prepare for them, then you go FCS, you do travel to Virginia. So you never know. Your first ACC road game, maybe they're better. Their quarterback is terrible.
Okay.
FIU, who you destroyed. Wake Forest is surprisingly, it's gonna be a good game. I'll just let you know right now. That's a game that everybody writes off in the ACC, and they end up winning games, and people are always like, oh, wow, Wake Forest?
Yeah.
I'm actually getting married the day before
that. It's because they have Tim Duncan.
Yeah, because Tim Duncan used to play there, so they have
throws
the Tim
touchdowns.
Duncan. Syracuse at Carrier Dome. We always see the weird things that happen
there.
Oh,
my God. We got our butts lit up with Teddy Bridgewater at Syracuse.
But it's a revenge game.
Yeah.
So they don't have Ryan Nassib, but we'll see what happens. But it really gets crazy when you do travel to Clemson.
Back-to-back, from New York to South Carolina.
Yeah, and you don't go home, and then you go to Death Valley. That's a big game, and then you follow that up with NC State, who we lost to in the Belk Bowl. And then you get a little week off, a little bye, but it's a short bye because you
play Thursday game.
Florida State Thursday night, day before Halloween.
The national champs.
Heisman Trophy winner, blackout game, guarantee. They haven't announced it, but I'll just go ahead and let you know. Wear black, get a costume, get the Grim Reaper out.
Yep.
It's going to happen. If they win that, if they can get to that through that schedule undefeated, that could be a really potential huge game. They have enough time if they can beat Miami to start
the
season.
By the way,
off.
To be undefeated, you have to beat Miami. You have to beat Wake Forest at home. You have to beat Syracuse on the road. You have to beat Clemson on the road. You got to beat North Carolina State. That's a grind.
That's a grind
and
already.
And that is the depth we're talking about. You need that kind of depth because at Boston College is going to be no walk in the park. At Notre Dame is going to be no walk in the park. Kentucky is a rivalry game, so that's always going to be hard. And then you might have an ACC championship game. So you need as much as you can get in the lines.
It's exciting.
More so than ever.
It's exciting, and I'm just happy that I planned my wedding kind of – luckily here, right in the middle of like maybe the weaker part with the FIU and Wake Forest era.
Yeah.
Wake Forest is not going to be an easy game, but if I have to schedule it, then that's what I'm happy where I put it. So,
all right. Well, we don't have a lot of other commitments out of the weekend to speak of, although there is a lot of buzz around Marlon Mack, a very talented running back who decommitted from UCLA, and there's a lot of people, Michigan included, that are interested in him. And it seems the coaches like him the most because they've put all the running backs aside, and they're putting the full court press on Marlon.
Yeah, I think Marlon's going to happen. I think Marlon happens Tuesday.
Marlon from Florida.
I think it will happen. He was a former UCLA commitment. Him and LJ Scott together will be the running back combo. The wide receivers seem to really be shoring up. That's a position of need because Louisville is very senior heavy at the wide receiver position. So they need to get these guys in place and going and get a season of a fall under their belts of at least fall camp and the program. But you already have Cameron Polk on campus. He's a very good receiver. It seems like the Sean Blair and George Rushing will happen. I feel good about those two.
And Steve Ishmael.
He could happen, too.
He's coming to visit. He's a real talented guy from North Miami Beach.
Somebody that the previous staff really wanted, and they've kept in contact with and done a nice job with. But I think Isaiah Ford, he's the highest-rated wide receiver commitment that Louisville has on the board. It's going to be between Louisville and Virginia Tech. He's going to play football and basketball at either school. It's just I don't know what Isaiah Ford is thinking in terms of basketball. Obviously, Louisville's
he just loves
better,
to play it.
But maybe he can get on the court faster at Virginia Tech. Maybe that's his angle that he's thinking about. I don't know. But if I'm a wide receiver and I'm thinking in terms of football, who do I want to play for?
Yeah.
Frank Beamer?
Yeah.
Or Bobby Petrino?
He's got that weird thing on his neck.
Well, that...
it's creepy.
That
I wouldn't even want to talk to that guy.
Him from getting to
it's
the
Quado
NFL,
from
but it's not
Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Either.
It's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy.
But, so there's really good players on the board. I would just flash him that graphic that I've sent the picture out. I'll send it out again. I'll make sure the offensive line coach has that picture so he can share it with recruits, which was the 15-game win streak Louisville had during the blackout game in 2006 when Bobby was coach. And they flashed our stats during that streak. It was 50 points a game. It was like 600 yards a game. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's video game stats. If you're on offense and you think there's any other school that's going to really use you better than Bobby Petrino, then you have not done your homework.
You haven't done your homework, or you don't feel like you fit their system. That could happen. But I don't think that they're going to recruit you if you're outside their system.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that coin, Ty Grantham, he, a year ago, the most recent draft, had 7 players drafted into the NFL off his defense.
Right.
So on the other side of the coin, UofL now with the 3-4 defense, that is the modern era defense of the NFL. The 4-3 that everybody runs in college, nobody runs that in the NFL. A lot of players have to make adjustments when they go to the NFL. Now, you can play an NFL-style offense, NFL-style defense. Ty Grantham gets players into the league. Bobby Petrino gets players into the league. They both win football games. Yep. It's about to go down.
We're in the ACC. We have the opportunities to win a title just like anyone else. Hell, we're going to be hosting the national champion in Florida State.
And is there a reason to be concerned? Sure. You just lost your head coach. You have a lot of players that are leaving out of the program, including your quarterback and the root of your defense, and you're changing conferences. You haven't been able to recruit to that conference yet. And the first opportunity that you do have to recruit to that conference, you have a coaching change.
Yeah.
So is there a reason to
you
be nervous?
2 weeks to get a class.
Sure. You have. There's plenty of reason. But you have the right man in charge. You have a great roster of talent that the previous staff put together, and yeah, maybe they're going after some of the guys that they did hard work on and they said they wouldn't do that, whatever, but Louisville football is in great position to make this change. I'm not saying they're going to the national championship next year. That would be crazy.
You don't want to go on record?
I don't know. I think 8 wins would be outstanding.
I'm going to go on record because this is a podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guarantee Louisville wins the national championship, and I'm going to guarantee in the championship game they win by 7 touchdowns.
Oh, wow. That's an incredible. I thought you were going to say
Louisville
win the national championship in cheerleading or dance team, because, I mean, that's pretty much a guarantee.
That is a guarantee, but I'm guaranteeing this, and I'm going to guarantee all the other sports do too.
Okay. So every sport across the board
will win by 7 touchdowns.
Baseball. Oh, every sport.
Regardless of their scoring system.
Baseball will win by 7 touchdowns. 49 runs.
Yeah. It's a guarantee. I guaranteed it.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
So book that in Vegas.
I didn't say bet on it.
Send the bill to Mike.
I said I guarantee it.
Crumb's Revenge.
It's different. Because it's a podcast. Who cares?
Yeah, nobody cares.
All right, folks. That's all we got for this week. We've talked basketball. We've talked football. We talked recruits. We talked program updates. We got you covered for this week. Thursday, 7 o'clock, Yurt out the Yum Center. Don't forget to wear your yurt to the big game.
Big time yurts.
And they're going to give out prizes. So thank you for joining us on the CrunchZone.com podcast. And remember, you can check us out on our website, thecrunchzone.com. You can check us out on Louisville.am, which hosts other Louisville-centric podcasts. Or you can check us out on iTunes and set it up for automatic download. Thank you for joining us this week on podcast. Mark, you got any final words?
Go Cards. Cards forever. I promise to rep the veal and nothing.